In this episode of Upward Calling, we talk about how perspective and our own opinions can become our idols. Welcome to Upward Calling. We help Christians develop a relationship with God by talking with University Church of Christ evangelist Josh Creel and Dr. Kenny Embry. Listen as we take a deeper dive on a lesson from a recent Sunday service and help you apply it Monday through Friday. How you doing, Josh?
I'm well, Kenny. Took a little nap, so a little rested. I think I'm fully awake and ready to go.
I got to tell you, I did not take a nap yet. I took my family out to Waffle House, which is one of our traditions. I introduced Katie to Waffle House when we were dating, and it's one of the things that we kind of enjoy. It's kind of a family tradition for us.
That is not a bad tradition, because when waffles are involved, I am always in favor.
Last week, I gave you permission to talk about what you talked about this morning. And I got to tell you, I am so grateful that I gave you permission to talk about the idol of our viewpoint. Because I got to tell you, Josh, I think this is one of the strongest things that you've talked about when it comes to idols. You made it so very clear. And I could not agree more with the conclusions that you drew. You started off this conversation talking about the Pharisees. In fact, you almost seemed very sympathetic toward the Pharisees at the beginning. Why are you such a supporter of the Pharisees, Josh?
Oh, whoa. All right. I've just been labeled now. So like everybody, you start out, you're reading the New Testament. And of course, you have a negative impression of the Pharisees, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
As they are presented in the New Testament, and how they reject God and they reject Jesus is clearly wrong. And Jesus, even in speaking of the judgment that was going to come upon God's people, lays a good bit of the blame at their feet. They certainly have their warts, and they're being called to judgment for that. I guess where what fascination you might say that I have with them came more as I got older, and I got more into history, and I love reading and studying through the Old Testament, and I love reading and studying through those prophets of the Old Testament, but not just to look at the prophets themselves, but that gives me a chance to then study and to learn more about what was going on in the world at that time.
Yeah.
And when you start looking at that, and you start looking at, okay, how do we get from Malachi to Matthew? What's going on with the people during that time? And this is when you start seeing these trends developing in Judaism. You see these groups that develop. As I mentioned this morning, just like just everything else, what becomes corrupted normally started off with a good intention.
That's right.
I think if we only knew the Pharisees based on how those groups got started with their opposition to Hellenism, in their mind being true to Jehovah God and being faithful to God, I think if that's all we knew about the Pharisees, we'd be like, yeah, they're great. I mean, we'd be making movies about them like we made about Braveheart and other things.
Yeah.
These are heroes.
Yeah. I could not agree with you more. I think one of the things... We don't study a lot about the intertestamental period, the time between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Right around 167 BC, you have that Maccabean revolt. You kind of alluded to this, that they were standing on the right principles. I think you're exactly right. They had started to write down a bunch of traditions that they thought made a lot of sense, and they started enforcing the traditions. It reminds me of having something that is so secure, like having a password that is so secure that you can't even get into your own account. They had made a Judaism that was so secure that nobody could keep it.
That is, and the phraseology that's used for what they did is they were putting a hedge around the wall.
Yeah.
They're very zealous for the law. They didn't want to violate the law.
Yeah.
So we will construct this hedge around the law with our traditions, with our oral laws and commandments. And that way, we are assured we will never violate the Sabbath day. We will never violate tithing. We will never violate any of these things. Even that, you might say, okay, I can see some merit there.
Yeah.
I can see some, I'm going to set boundaries for myself so that even if doing this is not necessarily wrong with God, yet because I've set this boundary, I don't have to worry about, am I going to violate God's will there? So this starts off with a good, with a noble purpose.
Yeah.
But then that viewpoint mindset becomes what's important. And that's where I was going this morning, is that that became an idol to them. And that's why they missed out on so much about what Jesus was saying and doing and who he is.
I could not agree more. I think if I was alive in the first century, I probably would have been a Pharisee. A lot of us probably would have been, because they had that reputation. You started talking about the Pharisees in such a way that it really naturally led into this idea of the problems with having viewpoints. You said it this way, and I think you're exactly right. It's not that we can get away from having one. We will all have a viewpoint, whether or not we want to. So when is it that we start crossing the line from having these views and opinions about the world around us to making these things problematic, from making these, in your terms, an idol?
All of us have viewpoints. I don't think I've met anybody that doesn't have a view, even if they don't think they necessarily have a view on any of the topics of the day. You and I both have a view on how should we approach the pandemic. You and I both have a view on, you know, what's the best political course for our country. You and I both have a view on social justice issues. You name the issue, we have a view on it.
Yeah.
Everybody does. It may not be a fully fleshed out worldview. And we may even pause and say, you know what, I need to think about that some more. I need to do some more research into that. But even then, we have feelings. We have ideas about these things. The problem becomes, for instance, with the Pharisees, and I didn't really go into this part of it in Mark chapter 7, but with their tradition of hand washing, and whether or not they needed to do that is beside the point.
Right.
I'm making an assumption here. Maybe they were doing this because of what they had read about the priests and how the priests purified themselves. And so they're saying, okay, we're going to do this, even though it's not required of us. That's fine. Mm-hmm. The problem was, they say to Jesus, what's wrong with your disciples?
Yeah.
They're clearly not doing what's right. And what's right is what I've said is right.
Right.
Viewpoint's no issue if I remember that that's what it is. It's my view.
Right.
It's my thinking. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, that changes when we're looking at matters of scripture, and hopefully our viewpoints are shaped by God on what it is required of us to do, how we follow God. But even then, I guess modesty may be, for instance, an issue there. There are certainly principles of scripture about modesty. Mm-hmm. And we're not just talking about lack of clothing either. We're talking about, you know, what is proper, you know, we've talked about this before. What's a proper attire to worship God? You know, what's modest in that sense? Well, I have a view on that.
Yeah.
And I abide by that view. If I see someone with the, you know, say, for instance, lack of clothing, and I think, okay, now this is an issue, then I have a responsibility to, in love, talk to that person about it. But I also have to admit that, okay, my viewpoint is still my viewpoint.
Right.
And I cannot say, here is what you must do. Here is what you must wear. Here is how you must conduct yourself. Unless I find God saying this. Mm-hmm. I just have to leave it where it is. This is my viewpoint. I'll share that viewpoint. We'll discuss that viewpoint. I will hope to help you to understand why this is the one that helps you in following God more. But at the end of the day, that's my viewpoint. And I'm going to have to leave it at that.
Yeah. I think one of the things you referenced both subtly and then overtly at the very end, we have a lot of differences of opinion in our congregation. And we are not any special congregation in this way. Every congregation has differences of opinion. And once you get a bunch of people under one roof, those differences of opinion are going to start bouncing around. So you got a little bit political in this sermon, and I think you needed to. What is it about this political climate that really starts to concern you about how Christians are treating one another?
Maybe part of my answer is in reflective of just where I am in life. When I think of political discussions in my life, and background plays a part of it, if I were to go back to the, was it the 2000 election that was Bush-Gore?
Yeah, I think 2000?
So.
I think so too.
Yeah, that's right, because it's right before 9/11. I didn't have a whole lot of Gore supporters to bounce ideas off of and, you know, discuss things.
Right.
I was surrounded by a lot of people that voted for Bush.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, you kind of get a little insulated there. So, you know, you can have a worldview and my viewpoint on who should have won that election. And it's not really challenged.
Right.
I would say that over the last couple of decades, though, my exposure to brethren who still view the way I do on, say, moral issues of our day, but other things that we classify in the political realm, they may have very different viewpoints on those things. And because they have very different viewpoints on those things, they may vote in ways that I may not have typically voted.
Yeah.
And they may have concerns about things that I've just not really thought a lot about. And so I guess it's one of those things like you want to say, like, you know, we're the most polarized that our nation has ever been. And that may be the case. Mm-hmm. I've read enough history of what the United States was like before the Civil War. I don't know that we've matched that yet.
No.
But we're clearly in a bad space. And it's reflected in the upper levels of our democracy.
Yeah.
It's reflective in how our leaders talk about each other and the demonization that happens there. And what I think we're all seeing is that this has filtered down into how we view people that think differently about issues, act differently because of those issues, vote differently because of those issues.
Yeah.
And so now my worldview, because it's at odds with someone else's worldview, what the world is telling me is that's my enemy.
Yeah.
That's someone who's on the wrong side. And so the concern that we have is not that there's open warfare in the church or even really a whole lot of boorish behavior, but just those attitudes that may be seeping in.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you're seeing some of the same things. Maybe you can articulate it in a little bit better way.
Well, I think one of the things that I would say is even back when you're talking about Bush and Gore, we had social media platforms like Facebook and Instagram like that, but they had a very low adoption rate. More than ever before, we have had the opportunity to take our opinions and share them very widely. And I think one of the things that hasn't changed is we've always had these opinions. We've always had these disagreements. We just didn't know it. And I think one of the things that both helped us and hindered us at the same time was we didn't know who disagreed with whom. And some of the time, we were just able to fly under the radar. And I think the thing that has changed in the last, I don't know, I'd say last 10, 15 years, is now we have gotten to a point where it is really easy for us to share our opinions. And those opinions may or may not be, number one, based on a lot of evidence. But number two, I think there is a sense in which I am grateful to know the issues that my brothers and sisters have. I think what I wish for all people, all Christians, is that we learn to civilly not only disagree, but to civilly love one another. Because I think Jesus, in his day, also had people who had really strong opinions about things. Jesus didn't solve those. What Jesus solved was, I need you guys to get along with one another on the things that matter. Mm-hmm. And most of these issues do not make a lot of difference. But they are places where we can fight if we want to fight.
Yeah.
And God's call is still the same. Go out and love each other.
Yeah. You see that in Jesus' ministry when he calls the 12 and you've got Simon the Zealot,
mm-hmm.
and you've got Matthew the tax collector.
Yeah.
You want to talk about people on the different ends of the political spectrum. Those two guys are on the different ends of the political spectrum. And you can imagine, you know, what were those discussions that the disciples were having about greatness? You know, where did Matthew fall in that discussion? Where was Simon in that discussion?
Yeah.
I doubt they were on the same side very often. But here they are, part of Jesus' closest followers. And then you look at the writings of Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, if you don't read the writings of Paul, knowing in the background that there's this whole division between Jew and Gentile, you're missing out on a lot of what Paul's talking about, because that's really at the heart of a lot that Paul addresses from Romans on is here we are, the church.
Yeah.
And in the church, there are those of a Jewish persuasion and there are those who are of a Gentile persuasion.
Yes.
We got to figure out how to get along. We got to figure out how to move forward.
You know, I don't know if you follow the Appian Media Boys at all, and they just had a new documentary come out called Trial and Triumph, and they looked at the churches of modern day Turkey, and one of the things they told me was the problems in these Turkish congregations was idolatry of Zeus and things like that, and the problems in Israel was people who kept on wanting the Christians to look just like Jews. Mm-hmm. It is basically the same problem, but with really different dressing. Mm-hmm. That they keep on trying to make Christianity into something else that it's not.
Well, you know, I'm gonna go back to the tagline that Kevin Floyd gave us for this whole series. We put the I in idolatry, and that's yeah. that's what the Jews were doing there.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to look like us.
Yeah.
You have to act like us. It, for you to be a Christian means you're like me.
Yeah.
Well, you've made Christianity something it's not. You've made Christianity in your own image and not in God's image.
Yeah.
And so, I don't remember what the original question was we were discussing, but worldview certainly comes back to that.
Yeah.
That I want others to think and to act just like I think and act.
Yeah.
And then that's a problem.
Yeah.
That in the church, not everybody has to think and act. There are things we have to think and act alike about.
Yeah.
But a lot of things we're talking about, God's just silent on it.
Yeah.
God didn't give an opinion.
All right, Josh, here's the problem. Eventually, all of us have to work together. How does this help us toward that upward calling?
The upward calling part is what's essential. When the gospel writers, when Paul, when the other writers in the New Testament are all urging us to remember that we're part of a kingdom. This kingdom is founded in heaven. It is a heavenly kingdom. We're still on earth, but we're part of that kingdom.
Yeah.
And we're reaching toward the goal, climbing toward the goal of being in the eternal kingdom forever and ever with God and Christ. That's what this is all about. My final plea this morning was, we've got to remember what's really important.
Yeah.
Now, Kenny as a parent, me as a parent, I look at trends, I look at things that are going on in this world, and there are certainly a lot of things just from the future that of the lives that I may have, you may have, that my kids may have, your kids may have, I am certainly concerned.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's going to require some action on my part, and that's going to require, you know, prayer certainly on my part.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you can be a child of God and be persecuted. In fact, scripture says pretty much to be a child of God means you are going to be persecuted.
Yeah.
You can be a child of God and be dirt poor. You can live in a country where the economy is a shambles and it's a wreck. You can be a child of God and live under a dictator.
Yeah.
You can be a child of God and be a part of the kingdom and be in all those situations. I don't want to have those situations. But ultimately, I have to also remember none of those things are as important as Christ and Him crucified.
I could not agree more. If I would add anything to that, we have used this example 1,000 times. We'll use it 1,000 times more. My children do not agree with me on everything. When do I stop loving my children? But if they need me, I'm right there. Mm-hmm. And I don't really care what we disagree about at that point. I love my kids. God loves His kids, and He calls us to be a family for one another.
Yep.
If we need each other, we need to be there for each other.
Yep. Worldview, viewpoints, we all have them.
Yeah.
It's okay that we have them.
Yeah.
And it's okay that we don't agree.
Yeah. All right, Josh, this is very exciting because we have asked people to give us any questions. And I got a question this morning from a listener named Katie Embry. And
you
that
know her?
Question, huh? I might have even helped her come up with this question. So. But that said, for those of you who are listening, Josh and I would like to take listener questions if you have that interest. And this is just a we are feeding this question because we would like to encourage these kinds of questions. Anyway, Katie and I came up with this one. Why does this seem so new and different, this idea of disagreement? Haven't Christians had disagreements really forever?
You know, I think we've been addressing this question the whole time.
Yeah, I think so too.
They have been.
Yeah.
The band of Jesus' closest disciples were having disagreements. There were disagreements over all kinds of things in the early church. It's one of those things that historically we can look, yes, there's always been these disagreements, just like there's always been political rancor in our country. But when we go through it, it's new to us. And even the particular issues, again, you know, pandemic, who is fighting over anything related to a pandemic, you know, 20 months ago to our 2 years ago? Nobody, because it wasn't a thing. But it's new. It's different. This is a new battlefield.
Yeah.
So I think what we're having to do is we know how to navigate these things. We've had experience navigating through these things before. But since it's a new scenario, it's a new battlefield, we're having to pause and think, okay, the things that we had to go through when talking about race, same principles apply here.
Yeah.
The things we had to go through when we talk about, you know, how do we reconcile political differences? How do we reconcile differences in warfare?
Yeah.
You know, how do we reconcile all these things? We've gone through those issues.
Yeah.
And now we have to apply it to a new set of circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right. Just like there were a bunch of Judaizing teachers that had to reconcile with people who were Gentiles.
Yep.
So, I mean, yeah, I think you're exactly right. All right, Josh, you're going to be out of town next week, aren't you?
I am going to be out of town.
So what are we going to talk about then?
Well, JP is going to be speaking next Sunday.
Yeah.
I don't know what his sermon is right off the bat, but I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. Mm-hmm. And when I return, I am going to start wrapping this idolatry series up, but I'm very excited about the next lesson because, as I mentioned to you earlier when we were off the air, I didn't know that this series was kind of building up to what we talked about today, but kind of did. But what I do know is that I've had from the beginning, I've had this next lesson in mind. And this next lesson is how we become what we worship. That's a thrilling prospect if we're worshiping Jehovah God.
Yeah.
That is a terrible fate if we're worshiping anything less than God.
I couldn't agree more. So I'm really looking forward to that. So I tell you what, why don't we talk about something different next week since you're not going to be here?
That sounds good.
All righty, man. I'll talk to you later then.
Thanks, Kenny.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to get to know us more, you're welcome to watch a live stream service or join us in person at University Church of Christ in Tampa, Florida. We have all our information at universitychurchofchrist.org, and we listed the sermon we reference in today's episode in the show notes. Until next time, God bless you in your walk with God.